Chapter 28, Kindling. The attacks weren't particularly frequent, but they came with no warning. On the fifth day after we started searching for the schema, when Ambrose must have been feeling particularly cussed or bored, there were eight of them. One as I was waking up in Willem's room, two during lunch, two while I was studying physiognomy in the medica, then three in quick succession while I was coldsmithing iron in the fishery. The next day, there were no attacks at all. In some ways, that was worse. Nothing but hours of waiting for the other shoe to drop. So I learned to maintain an iron-hard alar as I ate and bathed, as I attended class and had conversations with my teachers and friends. I even maintained it while dueling in adept sympathy. On the seventh day of our search, this distraction and my general exhaustion led to my first defeat at the hands of two of my classmates, ending my perfect string of undefeated duels. I could say that I was too weary to care, but that wouldn't be entirely true. On the ninth day of our search, Willem, Simon, and I were combing through books in our reading hole when the door opened and Fella slipped inside. She was carrying a single book instead of her usual armload. She was breathing heavily. "I've got it," she said, her eyes bright. Her voice so excited it was almost fierce. "I found a copy." She thrust the book out at us so we could read the gold leaf on the thick leather spine. Basi Moen Biskrivani. We had learned about the Scrivani early in our search. It was an extensive collection of schemata by a long-dead artificer named Surther. 12 thick volumes of detailed diagrams and descriptions. When we found the index, we thought our search was nearly finished, as it listed diagrams detailing the construction of a marvelous 5-gram, proven most efficacious in the preventing of malfeasant sympathy. Location, Volume 9, page 82. We tracked down 8 versions of the Scrivani in the archives, but we never found the whole set. Volume 7, 9, and 11 were always missing, no doubt tucked away in Kilvin's private library. We'd spent 2 entire days searching before finally giving up on the Scrivani. But now Fella had found it. Not just a piece of the puzzle, but the whole thing. "Is it the right one?" Simon asked, his voice a mixture of excitement and disbelief. Fella slowly removed her hand from the lower binding, revealing in bright gold, 9. I scrambled up out of my chair, almost knocking it over in my rush to get to her, but she smiled and held the book high over her head. "First, you have to promise me dinner," she said. I laughed and reached for the book. "Once this is over, I'll take everyone to dinner." She sighed. "And you have to tell me I'm the best scriv ever." "You're the best scriv ever," I said. "You're twice as good as Will could ever be, even if he had 12 hands and 100 extra eyes." "Ick." She handed me the book. "Here you go." I hurried to the table and cracked the book open. "The pages will be missing or something like that," Simon said in a low voice to Will. "It can't be this easy after all this time. I know something's going to spike our wheel." I stopped turning pages and rubbed my eyes. I squinted at the writing. "I knew it," Sim said. He leaned his chair back on 2 legs, covering his tired eyes with his hands. "Let me guess. It's got the gray rot, or bookworm, or both." Fella stepped close and looked over my shoulder. "Oh, no," she said mournfully. "I didn't even look. I was so excited." She looked up at us. "Do any of you read Eldvintic?"
"I read the chittering gibberish you people call a Turin," Willem said sourly. "I consider myself sufficiently multilingual."
"Only a smattering," I said. "A few dozen words." "I can," Sim said. "Really?" I felt hope rising in my chest again. "When did you pick that up?" Sim scooted his chair across the floor until he could look at the book. "My first term as an Elir. I heard some Eldvintic poetry. I studied it for 3 terms with the Chancellor." "I've never cared for poetry," I said.
"Your loss,"
Sim said absently as he turned a few pages. "Eldvintic poetry is thunderous. It pounds at you." "What's the meter like?" I asked, curious despite myself. I don't know anything about meter, Simmons said distractedly as he ran a finger down the page in front of him. It's like this. Sought we the scrivani word work of Surther, long lost in ledger, all hope forgotten. Yet fast found for friendship, fair the book bringer. Hot comes the huntress fella, flushed with finding. Breathless her breast, her high blood rising. To ripen the red cheek, rouge bloom of beauty. That sort of thing, Simmons said absently, his eyes still scanning the pages in front of him. I saw fella turn her head to look at Simmons, almost as if she were surprised to see him sitting there. No, it was almost as if, up until that point, he'd just been occupying space around her, like a piece of furniture. But this time, when she looked at him, she took all of him in. His sandy hair, the line of his jaw, the span of his shoulders beneath his shirt. This time when she looked, she actually saw him. Let me say this. It was worth the whole awful, irritating time spent searching the archives just to watch that moment happen. It was worth blood and the fear of death to see her fall in love with him, just a little, just the first faint breath of love, so light she probably didn't notice it herself. It wasn't dramatic, like some bolt of lightning with a crack of thunder following. It was more like when flint strikes steel, and the spark fades almost too fast for you to see, but still, you know it's there, down where you can't see, kindling.
"Who read you old Vintic poetry?" Will asked.
Fella blinked and turned back to the book. "Puppet," Sim said, "the first time I met him."
"Puppet?"
Will looked as if he would tear out his own hair.
"God, pound me, why haven't we gone to him about this? If there's an Aeturan translation of this book, he'll know where it is."
"I've thought the same thing 100 times these last few days," Simmons said. "But he hasn't been doing well lately. He wouldn't be much help." "And Puppet knows what's on the restricted list," Fella said. "I doubt he'd just hand something like that over."
"Does everyone know this Puppet person except for me?" I asked.
"Scrivs do," Willem said.
"I think I can piece most of this together," Simmons said, turning to look in my direction. "Does this diagram make any sense to you? It's perfect nonsense to me."
"Those are the runes," I pointed. "Clear as day. And those are metallurgical symbols."
I looked closer.
"The rest?
I don't know. Maybe abbreviations? We can probably work them out as we go along." I smiled and turned to Fella.
"Congratulations. You're still the best scriv ever."
With Simmons' help, it took me 2 days to decipher the diagrams in the scrivani. Rather, it took us 1 day to decipher and 1 day to double and triple check our work. Once I knew how to construct my gram, I began to play a strange sort of hide-and-seek with Ambrose. I needed the entirety of my concentration free while I worked on the sigildry for the gram. That meant letting my guard down, so I could only work on the gram when I was certain Ambrose was otherwise occupied. The gram was delicate work, small engraving with no margin for error. And it didn't help that I was forced to steal the time in bits and pieces, 30 minutes while Ambrose was drinking coffee with a young woman in a public cafe, 40 minutes when he was attending a symbolic logic lecture, a full 1.5 hours while he was working at the front desk in the archives. When I couldn't work on my gram, I labored on my pet project. In some ways, I was fortunate Kilvin had charged me with making something worthy of a Relar. It gave me the perfect excuse for all the time I spent in the fishery. The rest of the time, I spent lounging in the common room of the Golden Pony. I needed to establish myself as a regular customer there. Things would seem less suspicious that way.